Greetings, brothers and sisters. My name is Mbambulu, and the name of this broadcast is The Only Real Solution. You can check out my website at www.asetbooks.com. That's www.asetbooks.com. asetbooks.com. My email address is there also, as will be a copy of this radio broadcast. So if you miss a broadcast or want to repeat here, you can visit my website and listen 24/7 at your convenience. This broadcast, The Only Real Solution, is another edit of Mbambulu and Slide Over Productions. Hang on for a couple of minutes. I'll be right back. Three weeks now to think about yourself as a new African, to get used to thinking of yourself as a new African, to get to the point where you can say, I am a new African as a matter of course, without hesitation, without feeling a tinge of uneasiness. Everybody is not going to get to that point rapidly nor at the same time. So if you're still struggling with it, that's okay. Just keep on thinking about it. That in and of itself will help you become more comfortable with it, which is a step in the right direction. identifying yourself as New African, learning about New African history, the Black Creed, and the New African Constitution, the Code of Umoja, helping to popularize Black nationalism, helping to make it a part of the mainstream conversation among Black people in the United States, founding an independent Black territory or becoming a citizen of an independent Black territory that other New Africans have founded, recognizing the need for an independent Black economy that revolves around our own currency, the Black dollar, etc., and the how-to related to and associated with each of them. All of these are subjects we will address in this The Only Real Solution broadcast over the oncoming weeks and months. We are going to have to overcome a lot of obstacles, but that is always the case when people decide to break away from foreigners who dominate them. However, in our case, it is not the capacity of the foreigners that we need to be most concerned about. Our greatest obstacle to success is made up of 2 points. One is the number of us who will participate, and 2 is the number of us who will be responsible enough to prepare for the inevitable. Not all New Africans need to act responsibly, but the more the better. Even if a relatively small percentage of us act responsibly, John and Jane Doe do not possess the smarts, materials, nor wherewithal to stop us. What we can accomplish is entirely within our control. You need to understand that. All Black people need to do is participate and prepare right now for the inevitable, because the inevitable is going to get here. There is a lot of information about the history of Black people and the Republic of New Africa on my website, www.asetbooks.com. There is also information about Black economic independence, political priorities, and sovereignty, becoming and functioning as a Black power economist, and much more. But as you review and study that information, you need to keep one thing in mind. That information is neither complete nor definitive, and many of the blanks have to be filled in by you and other New Africans like you. The same is true of the broadcast. Don't think that I'm going to have all of the answers and provide all the leadership. Your duty as a responsible New African is to inform yourself so you can discuss projects with others and provide suggestions that help all of us get over the hump. If a person hints that he or she knows it all or is the only one capable of providing leadership, then that person is not a responsible New African. There are a lot of situations that can be anticipated, but the specifics of those situations, how they actually play out, will be parsed and addressed by you and other New Africans like you. The popularization of Black nationalism and its realization is as much in your hands as anybody else's. So you have the opportunity to play an appreciable role in a monumental shift in the way Black people throughout the world function and are viewed. In the past, Black people have struggled for change only to see those who were not willing to put their neck on the line be the first ones in line when Black people prevail. There isn't going to be any of that when New Africans prevail, because the line will consist of one nation of people, not millions of rat race runners competing with each other for crumbs. So, declaring yourself a New African is not like what we have been engaged in before. This is something different, something entirely different. In the early 1500s, it is estimated that the population of Europe was somewhere around 100 million people. At the same time, it is estimated that the population of North, South, and Central America was also somewhere around 100 million people. But in Europe, the natural resources had been exhausted. The lifestyle of Europeans had dirtied the waters, reduced the number of trees so much that wood was scarce, marketed in the sale of fish to the point where fish could not be relied on as a food source, sucked the soil out of its fertility because they were planting for profit instead of consumption, depopulated the animal life because they were more concerned about selling hides, hair, and body parts than feeding the masses. And Europe was so full of thieves and malcontents that Europe's leaders were talking about fake policy issues like overpopulation instead of real issues like providing the masses with what they needed to develop properly and contribute to society. Europe's leaders and elites didn't want to share the rapidly diminishing resources with the masses, so they were looking for ways to get rid of them. None of this was happening in the Americas, where an entirely different story had unfolded because the priorities and lifestyle of its inhabitants were more in touch with nature and not at all concerned about turning everything into an industry or a moneymaker. The water remained as clear as the sky. Trees were in abundance. Fish were so numerous that there was little chance that anyone close to water would go hungry, etc. They were just different from the Europeans, and we, new Africans, are also different from them when we are in our right mind. When we were dominated by John and Jane Doe's totality, our right mind was overpowered by an array of negative impressions and sensations, and we have become more like the foreigners than any of us should want to be. Identifying yourself as New African is a declaration that you are regaining your right mind and helping to bring to life a Black nation here in the United States. It is a declaration of much more than a change in who wields power. It is not about getting in a position to run faster in the rat race and retrieve more of the rat race's crumbs. All of the priorities that have carried so much weight for us in the last 400 or 500 years, we are putting those priorities out to pasture. We aren't using them anymore. We're going to let them die. We are taking control of our destiny. We are projecting an entirely different landscape, and we are bringing a different set of priorities and objectives to the table. We are opting for a new normal. And you, New African man, you, New African woman, you are the ace in the hole. The opportunity to achieve something monumental is looking straight at you. Don't be afraid to go for it. 1. Get comfortable with calling yourself a new African. 2. Popularize Black nationalism. That is, make it a part of the mainstream conversation of Black people in the United States of America. 3. Found an independent Black town or territory, or become a citizen of an independent town or territory that other new Africans have founded. When we popularize Black nationalism, we can't be presenting it as something flighty, scholastic, or ideological. We have to talk about Black nationalism in concrete terms, in down-to-earth, day-to-day terms. We can talk about it in those terms. We can talk about it in terms of a present reality. The words in the Declaration of Independence, the processes, offices, and duties laid out in the Constitution, the Code of Umoja. We're not talking about a scholarly debate over the pros and cons of an independent initiative. No, we are well beyond that because the Black nation already exists. We're talking about something that is already just as real as the United States, just not as well cared for. Black nationalism is far beyond the realm of scholarly debate, and we cannot allow anyone to present it as an intellectual discussion. Scholars and intellectuals are great when it comes to talking and theorizing, but they make lousy practitioners because all they do is talk. And talk, and talk. If we allow scholars and intellectuals too much influence in the struggle to take back control of our sovereignty, we will get stuck in the middle of a discussion and stay there for the rest of our lives. That's not good. We can't let that happen. If you want to build a house, you have to imagine what the house will look like and then do a blueprint or layout so that others can see exactly what you are talking about. That will make it easier for others to get on the same page as you and work with you in an efficient manner. Intellectuals are good at imagining what the house will look like, but they'll be so busy coming up with different imaginations and comparing one imagination to another imagination that they'll never get to actually designing a layout. But new Africans already have the layout in place, so talkers aren't going to be of much value to us at this point. Black nationalism is at the stage where the equivalent of plumbers, carpenters, electricians, concrete workers, painters, etc. Those are the type of people who hold the most value because they work. And being that they work, they are going to make progress that will make an impression on workers who have heretofore not functioned as responsible new Africans, and on citizens or residents who heretofore have not functioned as responsible new Africans. So you cannot allow yourself to get caught up thinking that such and such a person is who we need and it is worthwhile convincing her or him to join us. As long as you discuss with her or him, you can't do the work that needs to be done. Leave the reluctant doubters and slow developers to their own pace and put the work in that will push Black nationalism to the next level. If they see you working and making progress, even if it's only a little bit, they will be more likely to appreciate what you are talking about, bring themselves up to speed, and join those of us who are already installing water lines, running electrical wires, and pouring the foundation for the house. Acquiring the participation of a single person is never more valuable than taking the process a step closer to realization. If you are back there with him or her, then you cannot be taking strides forward. As soon as you realize that person is not ready, move on. He'll know where to find you when he gets ready because you will be a long ways or short ways in front of him. Now, what is the house new Africans are building? When you are popularizing Black nationalism, the house is information exposed to new Africans that makes them realize that we have options and those options are not only viable, but realizable. Expect some back and forth because people are going to have an opinion even when they have little basis for what they say. But they have just as much right to defend their position as anyone else does. That type of back and forth is par for the course. What should not be par for our course is when a person constantly comes off with what about this and what about that, and that can't work, and they ain't going to let us do this, that, or the other, or whatever. When you realize a person is looking for a reason to not participate instead of looking for a reason to participate, then stop trying to get him or her to join in with you. The people you want to grab onto are those who are open-minded, those who are looking to become involved in something that is better than what they have experienced, people who are ready right now to help get the nation under construction. So when you are popularizing Black nationalism, the house is the ears and minds of willing new Africans, trailblazer types, pioneer spirits, courageous new Africans. After getting their ears and minds, the house goes into change formation mode. The house then consists of founding independent territories, cities, and towns, and organizing them into productive units of the Black nation, our Republic of New Africa. Let's talk for a minute or two about independent Black territories. But before, I want you to be clear about my feelings about intellectuals. I am not anti-intellectual, but few intellectuals are apt to leave their desk and get on riskier types of battlefields. There are two that I will mention, however, and they were integral parts of the Cuban War for Independence that started in the 1870s and ended in victory in the 1890s. There was a white Cuban named Jose Marti. He left Cuba and spent a lot of time in the United States drumming up support for Cuban independence. He is probably the most revered of Cuba's independence fighters. But he has my respect because after the war went into effect mode, he returned to Cuba to join the fight. That is quite unusual. Unfortunately, he was killed in his first battle. But a lot of experienced warriors were killed in that same battle. But, as I just stated, the most impressive act was the return of this intellectual to Cuba to join the soldiers on the battlefield. When I found out he did that, I felt a degree of esteem for him that I had not felt before. The other Cuban intellectual who played a prominent role in the Cuban War for Independence was Antonio Maceo. Antonio Maceo was a Black man, and he did not leave Cuba to reside in another country. He frequently left Cuba in search of money and supplies for Cuban independence, but he would return quickly and continue with his writings and speeches that helped Cubans build up the nerve to do what needed to be done. But Antonio Maceo, the intellectual, is also recognized as the greatest Cuban warrior of all time. As a child, Maceo learned how to fight and used the machete as a weapon. And his regiment of machete-bearing soldiers was legendary. Maceo was so feared that Spanish soldiers were afraid to go on the battlefield if they knew he was commanding the Cuban forces. Maceo died on the battlefield in the 1890s. So, if an intellectual engages you in conversation or tries to get you into a debate, think about Jose Marti and Antonio Maceo. If you think that intellectual is of similar metal, continue the conversation. Otherwise, move on. I'll be right back. what is an independent black territory? I am going to use the term territory, but it could easily be town, city, county, whatever. So if I use varying terms, I'm just going with the rhythm. At this point, they're all the same. When I start talking about states, then we're dealing with another level of organization. A territory is a community of people, ideals, aspirations, initiatives, etc. A territory is a physical, spiritual, and ideological location. A territory can be the meeting ground where an idea manifests itself, generates energy, emboldens its residents. A territory can also be described as a microcosm of or precursor to a grander political reality. At this time, for us, New Africans, a territory is a training site where New Africans function as if they are citizens of a viable national entity, the Republic of New Africa. Not long ago, a territory was limited by physical parameters. It was land and people who were pretty much in the same physical and logistical space. But technology has advanced to the point where physical proximity can be virtual and realized even when people are thousands of miles apart. The name of my territory is Black Bottom, but Black Bottom's functioning and governing citizenry can be thousands of miles away from where my residence is. This is an advantage New Africans have to avail themselves of. Think about what was just said. A community of people, ideals, aspirations, initiatives. Don't fail to realize that the person as a physical reality is only part of that mix. When you found an independent black territory or become a citizen of an independent black territory, you would be wise to give as much consideration to a person's ideals, aspirations, and initiatives as you do anything else, because what New Africans want to accomplish is of greater concern than its physical location. The conveners of the convention that resulted in the writing of the Code of Umoja, the New African Constitution, and declared the existence of the Republic of New Africa listed 5 states that presently are part of John and Jane Doe's United States of America. They declared that those states, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, are the legal property of New Africans and home of the Republic of New Africa. What those black trailblazers decided was accurate and the result of legal, scientific, and sociological applications. But that does not mean our options are restricted to those 5 states. Nor does it mean that you have to be living in one of those states in order to form an independent black territory. The reality of the Republic of New Africa is not limited to that landmass. It could be a smaller landmass or a larger landmass, and it could be in the southern, eastern, western, central, or northern areas. In fact, the black nation goes with you wherever you go. What the nation will look like in final terms and form is to be determined, but what is certain is the nation itself and your ability to found a town or territory that represents and will be a part of that national reality. When you found an independent black territory, you become part of an organized pursuit of a legitimate political reality. Don't make founding an independent black territory more complex or difficult than it is. At this point, you are the determining entity, the administrator, the decision maker, the one who decides what the process should and should not involve. What naysayers think is negligible. The only adjustments you will need to make will be related to your relationship to and interactions with other independent black territories. It is almost impossible to overstress this point. One of the major functions of founding independent Black territories is creating conditions whereby new Africans will interact with each other on a regular basis. Attempting to integrate with John and Jane Doe has resulted in a decreased and diluted amount of interaction among us as Black people. We have to return to the time when we were more into ourselves and founding independent territories, increasing the population of your territory, and bonding with other independent Black territories is a high-quality way of reestablishing our relationships to each other and reviving the ties that are crucial to us, respecting each other, and re-emerging as a major political and economic force in the world. Integrationist efforts that have engulfed us have damaged us to an extent that is beyond anyone's ability to calculate. There is the obvious damage, like the loss of strong leadership and decaying of the Black family and general living conditions. The not easy to quantify damage, like the waste of Black minds, diminishing of Black hope and spiritual health, and the carnage of Black bodies. But nothing has hurt as much as the weakening of ties within and among us, the loss of the intuitive understanding that we are unique, that we are constantly under attack, and can only look to ourselves for salvation. The most recent post-integration generations of Blacks seem prone to doubt the assertion that John and Jane Doe do not have the well-being of Black people in mind. That used to generate an automatic heck no response from us. But the excursion in the direction of integration has reduced that natural defense mechanism that used to serve us so well. We were always poor and lived under tough conditions. But before the push to be with John and Jane Doe, those conditions did not muffle the type of energy that pushed us to build something better. Now, everything around us is going steadily from bad to worse to worst. And the energy that is being generated promotes self-destructive inclinations and reactions. We aren't even trying to look for a reason to explain the downward spiral that is consuming us. We aren't even trying to act like we should be organizing among ourselves and building something substantive and substantial. We have become more about despising ourselves and adopting John and Jane Doe's narrative instead of identifying them as the authors of an insidious plan to do us harm. Founding independent Black territories will help you and the other citizens and residents regain their bearings after losing the way while on the anti-Black integrationist path. An independent Black territory is a political entity that has moved on from the restrictions and hazards of John and Jane Doe's United States of America. While still not free of John and Jane Doe's legal system, you are at least walking away from it and taking steps that lead to that freedom. As far as new Africans are concerned, the United States of America is a foreign country, even as we live here and carry out all of the major activities of our lives here. Even as white power America has tried to pacify us, to them, we remain an itch that they got tired of scratching a long time ago. They totally disdain us because they have convinced themselves that we cannot make it without them. They aren't going to change their mind until we begin putting the only real solution into effect mode. But new Africans will not be doing anything with the objective of changing John and Jane Doe's mind. As far as new Africans are concerned, the United States is illegally occupying land that is our country and denying us the economic benefits that spring from our country's natural resources and the natural intelligence of its residents. This illegal occupation is also denying us the social benefit of developing healthy, well-rounded, Black minds, bodies, spirits, and psyches. To settle for the terms demanded by John and Jane Doe is to agree that Black people are receptive to permanently living one step away from unanticipated death and incarceration. Yes, we all know what house arrest is. For Black people, the United States is a big house that we can move around in without going to jail as long as we accept some arbitrary and artificial restrictions. Black people in the United States are under country arrest and without adequate counsel. And the best way to resolve that situation is insisting on our right to take control of our land and form our own government. A territory is a step in that direction, but it is not an easy step. That is why it can produce the results we want, but it has to be developed and defended. By founding an independent territory, you get the opportunity to acquire knowledge and gain experience in areas that we have heretofore not been encouraged to explore. New Africans get hands-on training in how to run a country by organizing a smaller unit called a territory. This experience will come in handy when we begin uniting with other territories to form larger political, social, and economic units. The same is true when it comes to defending ourselves. We cannot end the lynchings of Black people by petitioning the good graces of the lynchers. Working within the white system, we can only get a drastic decrease in the number of lynchings if the persons who do the lynchings begin showing up dead as a matter of course. The potential lynchers would quickly put two and two together and hesitate because they will know death awaits them. But even that is not an acceptable solution for us, because John and Jane Doe's legal system will still be in control of our destiny. And anyway, why should New Africans put themselves under that type of pressure when the more viable solution of reclaiming our sovereignty exists? So, founding an independent territory is the best way for Black people to defend themselves against lynchings, unfair incarcerations, and the general consequences of racism. In the same way you must be prepared to defend the front and back yards of your house and property, you must also be prepared to defend the front and back yards of your territory. Preparing to defend your home is necessary, but preparing to protect your home is very different from preparing to protect your territory and the Black nation. Defending your territory is a more complex proposition, and it requires a great deal of interaction between you and other New Africans. An independent Black territory provides the ideal setting to begin giving form and function to such essential preparatory measures. It gives us the opportunity to plan how to defend ourselves from personal attacks, and it gives us the opportunity to plan for attacks against us as a people, community, territory, and nation. So, what are you going to do when founding an independent black territory? The first thing you're going to do is say, I'm going to found an independent black territory. It's that simple. The second thing you're going to do is give it a name. Since it's your territory, you can name it anything you want. You shouldn't, however, want to use a name that is offensive to New Africans or New African heritage. The third thing you're going to do is become familiar enough with the Black Creed and the Code of Umoja, the Black Constitution, to use them as guides in determining your territory's core values and priorities. This is important because it will facilitate or make easier the union of your territory with another territory later on in the nationalist process. After that, make it known to others that you have founded an independent black territory and are in search of responsible new Africans to join you, participate in the administration and management of the territory, and make it an influential player in the elevation of black people. There are other things that need to be addressed by you and other citizens of your territory. One is the issuance of official documents like ID cards, birth certificates, etc. These types of documents provide an additional layer of legitimacy to your territory, but they might be too expensive to generate when your territory is in its infancy. Don't worry about that. A solution will present itself in due time. You also have to agree on how the territory will be represented, which official offices will be mandated, how the territory's workers will be compensated, and how the territory will be defended, how the territory will address the abuse of black people in the United States, whether or not the territory will establish diplomatic ties outside of the United States, if the territory will develop internationally, and an innumerable list of other items. But probably the primary concern in the beginning will revolve around the internal functioning of the territory itself, what activities the officers and citizenship will get involved in, and what the territory's relationship will be to the national government that is itself latent and in its infancy stages. A territory can make more definitive steps politically and socially than economically. That is because the economic life of a territory must prioritize seeking independence from reliance on John and Jane Doe's green dollar. The black dollar must be a national reality, not a local one. But that does not necessarily mean that each territory has to wait for the national government before it plunges into matters of money, finances, and economy. So to the extent that your territory has reached that level of development, it can issue a local currency to get the economy started. If it becomes successful, it can be converted into the national currency if other territories that join the national structure agree to do that. Certainly, it would be advantageous to talk with other territories and New Africans about how the economics of black nationalism should proceed. A collaborative effort would be best in this regard. But sometimes you have to step forward with an initiative all by yourself before others will take notice and participate in good faith. You should not take founding and developing a territory lightly. The territories that are most efficient and best organized are going to get more attention than the rest and will put themselves in a position to gain control of the national government. That could turn out being the key factor in our black nationalist hopes and endeavors. The national government of the Republic of New Africa must be active and visible to all in the black community. A passive, empty dashiki-type leadership is counterproductive. So it would be well if an energetic and organized territory or collection of territories take on the responsibilities national leaders would generally be expected to take on. You, by way of the territory you found or joined, could end up being one of the major players in this historical process. But in order to not get ahead of yourself and the process, concentrate at this time on founding and naming your territory, learning enough to make sure the core values of your territory are in line with the Black Creed and Code of Umoja, and making it known that your territory exists and you are seeking persons to join you as citizens. All of the information you need to prepare yourself can be found on my website. I am maintaining a list of territories on my website for those who might be interested. I do not expect many founders of territories to list their territory because they might not want to expose themselves so early. But doing so could be of help to new Africans who want to become citizens of an existing territory, or those who have established territories but are looking to merge with other territories. There was a time when John and Jane Doe didn't even know the Americas existed. For better or for worse, they became aware of America's existence, so they jumped on some wooden ships and came here from thousands of miles away with some plans, but with no idea of what they were going to accomplish. They, as a result of taking chances and a whole lot of luck, managed to survive long enough to concoct a plan to take control of the land and eliminate the people who were here before they arrived. Think about what the idea of a United States of America looked like back then, and look at how the United States of America looks now. We are the masters of our destiny. Okay, New African woman, New African man, New African male, New African female, it's up to you. If you think I might be of some assistance, drop me an email. I'll respond as quickly as I can. Don't forget, knowledge has never saved anyone. Don't forget, you can contact me from my website at www.asetbooks.com. www.asetbooks.com. And there you can find much more information on this subject. I will be presenting the next broadcast next week, same day, same hour. Remember, we are Black people. We are not dark-skinned white people. We need a nation of our own. Peace be with you, brothers and sisters, if you are willing to do what is necessary to get it.